I want to talk about the love of God, the depth of the love of God. Many times we satisfy ourselves with this understanding, God loves me. And that's wonderful and a true statement, but it's not complete. It's not complete until we begin to meditate and think about how deeply God loves you, how deeply He's committed to you. You as an individual, God is committed to you. And so this morning I want to start, let's start in the book of 1 John chapter 4. And we'll just read a couple of scriptures there and I'll try to lay a foundation to the message this morning. 1 John chapter 4. John is referred to as the apostle of love. He responded more to the love of God and wrote more about the love of God than any of the other apostles. And he says in chapter 4, verse 10, he says, herein is love. It means he's about to explain what love is. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And then verse 19 continues in the thought, and it says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Master, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for your presence in this place. God, we ask you that you would make your presence known to every individual here in the worship room, watching across the online experience, that you would touch hearts and you would cause us today through this word to inquire more deeply concerning this love that you have bestowed upon us. Father, as we receive an offering this morning all across the online experience here in-house, we would ask you as well that you would bless those families that give in support of this ministry, that you would deal with those families, those individuals. We're in the last days. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, we have to do it quickly because the hour of darkness is upon us. Father, we pray it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. So John explains what love is. And he says it's not us loving God. Sometimes we take the phrase the love of God and we understand it in two different ways. One way to understand it is the love of God is the love that we have of the things of God, the love that we have for God. And that's correct. But the other way of understanding it is the love that God has for us. And so what we see then in these verses in John is that there is a primary and a secondary love. The love that we have for God is secondary. It could not exist, it would not exist without the primary love that God has for us. You see, prior to your salvation, prior to your conversion, you weren't in love with God, you had enmity in your heart towards God. I take myself, for example, prior to me getting saved, I didn't really care too much about what God said. Didn't think about it, never concerned me. I just knew what I wanted. But God so loved me, he so loved you, that he sent his only begotten son into the world. That we might not perish. Our direction, we were going to perish, but he sent his son that we might have life. Many times we think that, well, you know, I made a decision for Christ one day. That's not really correct. You did make a decision, but before you could make that decision, God the Holy Spirit had to deal with your circumstance to move you from a state of total depravity to begin to have enough spiritual sanity to consider Christ. He allowed the circumstances to be such that you begin to look for another answer. And in doing so, you found the precious pearl. But the point that I wish to make is that God loved us long before we loved him. When you were smoking dope, God already loved you. Come on, when you was committing adultery, when you was a thief, when you was a liar, when you was whatever that you were, and all of us were something, God loved you like that. And he committed himself, I'm going to pull them out. I'm going to pull them up. I'm going to pull them out. And I'm going to give them a better future. I'm going to give them an eternity in my presence. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us. You know, if you're honest with yourself, I've messed up so many times. Sometimes it's hard for me to love myself. You know, just be honest this morning. I've stumbled so many times. It's like, God, I don't know. I seem like I'm pretty unlovable. But he's not put off by it. He's totally committed. And so this morning, I want us to focus on the love of God. Focus on not what you understand it to be today, but what God knows it to be. And he's revealed it in his word. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul speaks on these issues, beginning with verse 17. And Paul writes that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. A piece of grass is rooted. It means its foundation holds on to the earth. Grounded is a tree, meaning its root system goes down into the earth and it grips the earth so that even when a storm comes, it can't blow that tree over because it's grounded. And Paul is saying that's what he wants for you and I, that we be rooted and grounded in love, that we have a grasp, not our love for each other, which is wonderful, no problem with that, but that we have a grasp of the love of God. Because listen, the wind blows in our lives sometimes. Come on, sometimes the storm is raging. And Satan can fight your mind so bad, you start wondering, Lord, I thought you was going to have mercy on me. But you need to understand that even when the wind blows, even when the storm rages, that his love is steadfast upon you. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. So let's slow down. That you may be able to comprehend. It means that if you're not rooted and grounded, you don't have an ability to comprehend this massive love that God has bestowed upon us. See, the day you get saved, you don't understand this love. You just understand, well, God loves me. But as you begin to walk with him, failure after failure, stumble after stumble, and he never gives up. He never backs out on you. He just continues to pull you forward into sanctification. You begin to understand this is not love as I've understood love to be. See, many times now in human terms, when we think of love, we think of what will I get from her? What will I get from him? It's a selfish love. But what God gave us is a sacrificial love. What can I give to them? How can I bless them? That we might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. That we might know the dimensions, the diameter of his love. If you just are giving a passing glance at it, all you'll understand is a passing glance. But if you stop and meditate on it, not one time, you're going to have to meditate year after year. You're going to start realizing every breath I take, that air belongs to God. The lungs I breathe it with, those lungs belong to God. And without me asking anything, in his goodness, he just gave it to me. And listen, he doesn't make us count and remember how many times to breathe a minute. He put intelligence in our lungs that they just do it. You and I don't have to focus on how many times is my heart beating? Is it the right rate? How many times? I think it's a little slow. We don't have to think about that. God put intelligence in that muscle so that it just does it. It's a gift from God. That you might know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now here's what it means. It means the love that God has bestowed upon us through the sacrifice of Christ, it passes human comprehension. It means collectively as a creation, all the intelligent people on the planet, it goes beyond our ability to comprehend the depth of this love. That ought to stir you up. That there's nothing I can do short of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And even with that, God loved Judas right up to the last second. Right up until he did the deed, Jesus was still reaching out for him. He still had a love for him. And so when we look at our little missteps and all of our little goofiness that we have in this life, don't think that disturbs the love of God. But the love of God should do this. It should cause us to have a more deep love for him. It should cause us to respond to his love with our own love, which is not even in comparison to God's, the depth, the length, the height, and the breadth of God's love, but it's just all that we have to offer. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, again, Paul is ministering in the prior chapter, and he says this in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, you got to understand the emphasis of this statement. And you, of all people, me of all people, I was dead, spiritually dead, cut off, disconnected from my Creator because of my trespasses and my sins. I had no ability to reach out to him because I was spiritually dead. Me hath he quickened. That means made alive. Meaning he spiritually resurrected us back to life so that we could have communion with him. Understand today, there's, I don't know, about 7 billion people on the planet. Only a small remnant of us walk with a connection to our Creator. I'm connected to him. When I woke up this morning, I woke up talking to Jesus. When I have a trial, when I'm in a storm, when I fall short, I'm talking to Jesus. I have a living relationship with him. And it's not just a relationship. It's a love relationship. I don't just come to church. I come to commune with my husband, the lover of my soul. And I love him because he first loved me when I couldn't help myself. His love reached down and pulled me up. When I was feeble in my walk, feeble in my mind, feeble in all of my actions, his love gave me strength. And now I respond to his love with my love. I'm not half step. I'm not just trying to not go to hell. See, many people, I just don't want to go to hell. I don't either. But more than that, I want to love him back. I want to embrace. I want to respond to his love. Wherein in times past, he's talking about you and I now. In times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's a name for Satan. The prince of the power of air. We walked in alignment with him prior to our salvation experience. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past. Our lifestyle was in alignment with Satan in times past. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath. Meaning that the very nature that drove our whole living was consistent with Satan and made us such that we were worthy of the wrath of God, the children of wrath. But God. That's a pretty gloomy picture, but God. But God, the sun rises again. But God, who is rich in mercy, overabounding in his mercy. You know, if it was just me or you and we found somebody that was like you or me prior to conversion, we might at the very best tell them, okay, you can come along, but you got to sit in the back. You got to do 5 years in the back, and as you grow, then you can move closer to the stage. But just coming in, I mean, look at you. You got tattoos everywhere. You got piercings. Man, you still smell like cigarette smoke. Sit in the back. But that's not how God does it. That's not how God does it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, meaning he's motivated by his great love wherewith he has loved us. Understand something. God doesn't love us because of what we bring to the table. Because we don't really bring nothing to the table. We can't even find the table without him. So he's motivated internally by his own love for his creation. If it had just been you alone, Christ would have came and died for you. His great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even think of your sin prior to salvation in your life. Think of what was consuming your life and sending you to hell. Even when you were doing that, motivated by his love, he quickened us together with Christ. By his grace, we're saved. This is the love of God. And see, sometimes we can be in a storm. We can have trials in our lives. We can have tests that come upon us. We can have spiritual storms that seem like they're never ending that come upon us. And in those storms, like we see the disciples within the gospel, sometimes we can doubt. Sometimes we can falter. But here's one thing. If you don't understand this, this will help you so much. That God hasn't saved you in sin, brought you out of sin. He's maturing you, and you make a stumble, and now he drops you here. If he was going to drop you, he'd have left you in sin. So if you're moving along through sanctification, if the storm, if the winds are blowing, if the seas of persecution are raging, understand God's not going to back out on you. He's going to go through the storm with you. Now, he may not stop the storm. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But he'll bring you through it. And here's what I've learned in my 40 years of walking with him. When you come through it, you'll be better. Yeah, you'll be better. You'll understand some things about God. He's not moved in many things that we encounter in our situation. He has one thing in mind, and that is to mature you into Christ's likeness. And he will use the storm to do that. He will use sometimes the raging sea because he's not focused on the elements of the storm. He's focused on bringing you closer to Christ's likeness. Here's the way that John puts it in his epistle, 1 Epistle John chapter 3. And this is really what I came to say today concerning the love of God. At this Christmas season, when our minds can be all over the place, let's remember this scripture that John gives us. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Now, don't just run past that sentence. You have to break the words down and understand what is the communication, what is the thought that he's given me. The word behold, it means pay close attention to what's getting ready to be said. He could have put this sentence in the Bible without that word behold. But he put behold there to grab our attention and say, you got to pay attention to this. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. He did not say, behold, the Father hath bestowed love upon us. He said, I need you to examine what manner, the quality, the depth, the length, the height, the breadth, the width of the love that God has given us. Look at the quality of the love that he's given us. You won't find this anywhere in the human race. You won't find this anywhere on the planet. You cannot get this from Hollywood. You can't get it from the NFL or the NBA. You can't get this from mom and daddy. You can't get this from family members. This is a love that no one can achieve except God. It is infinite. It is infinite. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Now what he's saying is, once again, look back to what you were before you got saved. His love went out there into the hog pen. I was thinking about this morning. In the parable of the prodigal son, if you remember, the prodigal son went, he was living like you and I were living before we got saved, and he was in the hog pen. And the father in that parable never left the house. He waited till the son came to himself and came back home. But in our situation, our father left heaven. he came down into the hog pen and he pulled us out. And ever since, he's been little by little, like a mother with a newborn baby, just picking at the baby, just washing it off here, getting the little things out of his nose, cleaning his ears, just picking the little baby to get it clean. That's what the Holy Spirit has been doing to you and I. See, when you look at the love a father has for a wife, or a mother has for the child, or even a father for his family, that is but a reflection of the love that God has for you and I. That's where we get it from. That's where we learn it from. He made us in his image. We're called the sons of God, meaning that he adopted us into his family. It means as much enmity as we may have had towards him, as ragged of a lifestyle as we may have been living, he didn't just go into the hog pen and pull us out. He brought us right back into his family. He put shoes on our feet so we could walk right. He put a robe of Christ's righteousness upon our back. And he put a ring on our finger showing that we're part of the family of God. That we, of all people, you and I, should be called the sons of God. Every now and again, me and Brother Jasper reminisce together in the back of the room. We've been knowing each other, I don't know, 40 years, more than 40 years. And back, neither one of us was saved way back in the day. And we both know what each other was doing. You know, we know where we came from. And sometimes we stand back there and we go, you know what, brother, we shouldn't even be here. It's an amazing thing that we're in this place, that God brought us out of all of that and put us here. And he never even reminds us about what we came out of. He just loves on us and gives us of his good blessings. Romans 5 verse 6 says this, for when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When you and I, we couldn't help ourselves. We didn't even have enough knowledge to know that we needed help. How many was in sin and was happy? Come on, y'all are telling the truth. I can remember the day I got saved. I was happy. Everything was good. I was a young man, 28 years old, prime of life. Man, I just got a new job, just bought a new car, got into a new apartment because I got a big raise. I had girlfriends across the board. I had bags of cocaine in the house. Everything was good. And I had a job where I could just call in and say, hey, I'm not feeling it today. I'm staying home. It was wonderful. Got up and didn't go to work, went straight to the dope house. Sitting around there getting high. And then when I left that house, and I'm going back to my apartment, I met him. I met him on a back street. I remember it. I was so happy. I'm not making this up. I was so happy as I'm riding my bike back to my place, high as a kite. I said, Jesus, just keep me this happy. And the power of God fell on me. Hallelujah. And I realized I was killing myself. I was in trouble. Oh, yes, I was happy, laughing, going to hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he does love us. It says, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended or introduced his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. I want you to think about this now. Before you were ever born, God in his omniscience knew all the dirt that you were going to do. And so 2,000 years before you were born, he sent a Savior to bleed on a cross so that when you came to yourself and the fullness of time came, that his blood could cover your sin and bring you into relationship with him. Oh, that's the love of God. That's what you and I should celebrate this Christmas season. Yes, enjoy your family. Enjoy your gifts. Enjoy all of that. But take time to come aside. Say, God, I thank you for this manner of love that you've bestowed upon me. Where would I be And with this in mind, no matter where you go, no matter what storm hits your life, no matter what medical emergency comes upon you, no matter what financial disaster hits your life, you can know and be assured. If everybody in the nation hates you, you say, well, God told me he loves me, and I'm going with God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to stop there. I've got a few more scriptures, but there's something that we need to do today before I dismiss you. And God has dealt with me over this past week, and so I just feel it's something we need to do. So we're going to ask at this time that all of the directors and all of the elders of the church, would you come to the stage, please? All of the directors and the elders, if you are an elder in this church, would you come? Just come up here. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.